we're at the year anniversary here, almost, of the Deontay Rozier. Is it Deontay? Is that, okay. What is the status investigation, kind of where are things at and trying to solve this case?
Honestly, it's an active and open investigation. I mean, we're still investigating any leads that have come in. We are currently working with the Illinois State Police Lab to further evidence that is currently at the Illinois State Police Lab, meaning any DNA evidence, any other evidence, physical evidence that we located at the scene. We'll work with them to get clarification on some things. It's an ongoing issue between us and the Illinois State Police Lab, trying to clarify some things and see what in fact we actually collected at the scene.
What is the difficulty? This case, this is a muddy field. There had been some rain, rainy conditions, and it was wet and mud. How difficult does it make it to collect evidence in a scene that isn't a surface that is conducive to collecting evidence, really?
Yeah, unfortunately, any sheriff's department is probably used to this type of scene, okay? So something you don't do a lot, you're not good at. Well, fortunately for us, we typically do this a lot. That day on January 3rd at approximately 10:44 a.m., it was 40 degrees out, it was windy, it was raining. Anytime there's wind or rain, that's not good for a crime scene investigator. It destroys evidence. It was a muddy field, as you said. Getting equipment to that is difficult. Surveying the scene is difficult. And typically, we start out with investigations, and we know that we have a deceased person in the field. The hardest thing from that point on is, okay, where's our evidence at? How big is this scene? This is North Lincoln Avenue. I mean, there's a mile between Fort Harris Road and Leverett Road. How big, how wide do we have to start? So we start very wide. And it's not like a scene that you would see, like, in a neighborhood. Okay, you can generally narrow that down. Where when you're out in the middle of a field or out in the middle of a county or in a country road, we have to start wide. And we kind of work our way in. And everybody wants to focus on the body and stuff like that, but we're very careful to start wide and work our way in. And what I mean by work our way in is we got to look at ditches, and I've seen people involved in crimes like this toss stuff in ditches, whether it's the murder weapon, whether it's a can of pop, whether it was a glove or a piece of clothing. So we're conscious of that. We work our way in towards the body. Once we get to the body in this situation, as I said, the field was muddy. A lot of the evidence was potentially destroyed by the rain and the weather. Once we got closer to the body, it appeared that Mr. Rozier, there was mud on his shoes, so he ran through that field. The field was wet the night before. We did have rain the night before. So most likely there was some type of attack or something that happened. Most likely it started on the roadway. Maybe they were in a car. The car was parked. Something happened. Something escalated within that vehicle. Maybe Mr. Rozier and another party or parties exited that vehicle and an event happened, which was obviously some type of attack. I would say, just my experience, that Mr. Rozier was probably shot towards in the area of the roadway and then was escaping the attacker, trying to get, run into the field to get away, and eventually, passed away in the field.
Was it difficult to find other footprints? A footprint probably is a strong word due to the muddiness of the field and nothing would be settled. Was it difficult to find other footprints or even his in those type of conditions in the field?
Yes, because one thing is he was found out in the middle of a field, and this field was plowed, okay? So the field is not flat. It's not like what you see on TV. The field's flat and everything's perfect. It was a plowed field. It was difficult to elevate ourselves up high enough to see, to get like an overall view of the scene. So paramedics and police officers are very good at taking the same path to the body, so we know whose boot prints or footprints those are, right? We believe that we did find a trail of his that kind of came from the roadway area, and that's what I'm basing my theory off of.
Did you find a trail of any others that may not be his?
No, but we did find clothing that, in my opinion, is not consistent with the size that Mr. Rozier would wear.
How many times was he shot at? I mean, do you know if there, did you find any kind of bullet casings anywhere?
Yeah, we didn't find any bullet casings, okay? So there's a couple things with that. A lot of people think of automatic guns. Obviously, when you shoot an automatic gun, it ejects a shell casing. Obviously, if you're shooting with a revolver, it doesn't eject a shell casing. So if you shoot someone, you have a six-shot revolver, and you shoot six times, you're not going to find any casings. If you shoot an automatic gun within a car, you know, the casings are not going to eject to the ground. So that those could be two reasons why we didn't find shell casings. Or they picked them up, which is unlikely, but...
Did you find any bullets or anywhere on the ground?
No.
Okay. So he was shot in the chest, and that's the bullet wound. Do you know how long he was there?
I don't know how long he was there. I think we all speculated, including the coroner, was it the night prior. It appears that he obviously was shot in the chest and ran and tried to escape that attack and eventually died of loss of blood.
But it was just, was it once in the chest?
Yes.
Okay. As I mentioned, we're almost at a year now. Where do you think it stands now versus then? I mean, is it kind of, have you been able to advance it quite a bit in a year's time, or has it just been kind of difficult?
You know, in the beginning, and when I say the beginning, I'm talking 6 months from January when this occurred until, you know, June, July. We felt like we were advancing this very well. We felt like we were going to develop a suspect. In fact, we may have even talked to the suspect. We just don't know. And then everything is just... kind of panned out. I mean, like we have not received any tips. It's very rare that we, from whether it's from informants, whether it's from Crime Stoppers, we have not received a lot of tips on this case. And that's the whole reason why that, you know, we're doing this interview right now is we want to get the public involved in this. And, you know, we have a killer out there that killed Mr. Rozier, and we need the public's help. I mean, we can't do this all by ourselves, and I think we're at that point where we can't, and that's why I'm reaching out to the public to ask, hey, if you have any information on this murder, please give us a call. If you don't want to talk to us, that's fine. Talk to Crime Stoppers, but at least do something. Get involved, and let's stop this gun violence.
How difficult is this case because this happened, you know, out of town? It's not in city limits where, you know, in a bad neighborhood where it's, things like this are more prevalent. There might have been a lot of witnesses. This is a different situation. You guys don't deal with a lot of fatal shootings in the fields. How much more difficult does that make it, just because in terms of a public perception even being aware of this?
Right. So basically, the thing that we have going, usually that we have going against us in a situation like this, is to identify the dead person that's in the field, okay? We were fortunate in this case. We identified him really quickly, and we started working it backwards from the field. So we started going, and Mr. Rozier was from the city of Champaign. We started working those angles and stuff like that. And you're exactly right. I mean, when a crime happens out in the middle of the country or on a county road or in the middle of a field, obviously our witnesses are limited. And where it would, if it happened in, you know, in the middle of town where neighbors, and when we do a canvas and stuff like that, they hear gunshots, they may see a car leave, they may hear that rumors about this person doing it, stuff like that. The whole reason why people do criminal activity out in the county is there's a less likelihood of it being detected. Whether it's a murder, whether it's dumping a couch, whether it's doing criminal activity such as breaking in a house, there's not as many people out there to witness the criminal activity.
What kind of resources is the sheriff's office putting toward this case? I know in the Cassano case, you put a fresh set of eyes on it, which you were heavily involved with, if I remember correctly, to kind of move it into a couple other people to kind of get a fresh set of eyes. Are you guys to a point with this case yet, or is it still this kind of the same investigators on this one?
No, we're going to stick with the same investigators on this one. I'm reviewing the case. Sergeant Dave Sherrick's reviewing the case. Investigator Meeker, Investigator Ed Moody have done a lot of work on this case. I think the case is good. We just need a break. And I think we're right there. I think we're on the cusp of it. We just need a break. We need to get lucky. We need to have someone in the community come out and say, hey, I heard so-and-so did this, and here's what I know. Or we need the Illinois State Police Crime Lab to come back with something and saying, hey, this DNA profile matches so-and-so. And then we're going to be in a lot better position. There's people out there that know who killed him. There's people out there that, I'm not saying was at the scene, well, they were, but I mean, there's people out there that has first or second-hand knowledge of who killed Deontay, and they're not coming forward with it, and that's disappointing.
Is there anything about this case that's unusual in any way for you guys that you don't usually deal with that kind of caught you off guard or anything like that?
No. No. I mean, personally, going back to as I was an investigator, this kind of reminded me of the Terry Clark case where she was shot six times on a county road. We've had numerous, well, I wouldn't say numerous, we've had a lot of bodies dumped in the county. George Chapman dumped one. Kelsey Blackford was another one.
Vicente Mundo was one.
Mundo was one. I forgot about Mundo. But, I mean, so we're not, I mean, we don't have 10 murders a year, but, I mean, we have one or two a year, and usually they come in this way.
Yeah, I mean, one or two murders a year, and you guys investigate deaths and things of that nature. But it is still kind of a rare thing because, you know, I mean, the city of Champaign doesn't have a lot more, and Urbana doesn't, I don't think, have any this year. But it's still something you guys don't deal with on a regular basis, despite the fact you're investigating this one on a regular basis.
Right. No, you're right. I mean, we don't. We investigate sex crimes more than we do murders. And but at the same token, you know, I feel confident that our unit can run. We have six CSIs that is led by Sergeant Bolt. We have, you know, all the resources, and if we don't, we know who to go to when it comes to that, and we communicate well. I mean, we sit there and we present our case in an investigators meeting to other agencies such as Champaign Police Department, such as Urbana Police Department, Rantoul Police Department, U of I Police Department, and we present our cases, and we say, hey, if you have any informants, if you have any things, here's what we have, this is what kind of what we're looking for, here's what we're not looking for. Hey, and we're open book. Here's our case. Here's our evidence. What do you guys have? And I think us as an agency, I'm talking within the Champaign County, I think the public is blessed by that because we communicate so well. The agencies do, and it's, you know, I'm by no means am I conceited or anything like that and say I'm willing to want to solve this case or the sheriff's. I don't care who solves this case. I just want it solved.
Does this weigh on you and the other members of the sheriff's office personally, just the fact that this case, you can't solve it? I know we mentioned the Cassano case, and so this isn't the only one unsolved here, but does it weigh on you guys to just not be able to get that break when you're, like you just said, you just need a break here?
Yeah, I mean, it does weigh on us personally, and it does weigh on me personally. I take pride in what I do, and I look at everything as win and losses. And an unsolved homicide case is a loss to me. And I feel like that we owe the family and the community to solve this and to lock up this person that selfishly took someone's life for whatever reason. I guarantee you Mr. Rozier was killed for a stupid reason. And the whole thing is the community and the family deserves this to be solved. And it's frustrating to me because we can't do it. And we just need help. And when you ask for help, like I'm doing right now to the public, going out to the public saying, hey, we need help here. And we're not too proud to ask here. We need the public's help. Call us and help us solve this case. Let's work together.
I'm guessing the car never got off the road, the car that was involved in this, so there would be, like, no such thing as tracks that, through the ditch or anything like that at all?
We do have potential witnesses that saw an SUV. Some described it as darker, and it had fancy wheels on it. So when someone says fancy wheels to you, I don't know what comes to your mind, but, you know, like, it wasn't stock wheels. It was wheels that they bought aftermarket, is what I'm thinking, making it, like, you know, 20s or something like that, like fancy wheels or something like that, some 20-inch wheels or something like that is what I think. And that's the problem, is we don't have, you know, it was a, I'm saying hypothetically, it was a 2010 Dodge Ford. You know, we could sit there and run a query on that and find everyone in this county that has that vehicle and go out and eliminate that way. It's a very general description. It's what that person saw and what they, the way they described it may be different than what you would describe it.
But it was an SUV from for witnesses. So there were witnesses account witness there, accounts out there?
There was a person that was working at the, I believe it's an anhydrous dealership over there. They start early in the morning. They saw a car that was parked on the road. Again, it's pitch black. It's 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
So the description of the vehicle is not very good. It's a full-size SUV, older, with wheels on it, with fancy wheels on it, is our description.
Now that could be any number of things.
It's a very general description, and there's probably thousands of them like that in this area.
And there's really no way of knowing either how many people were in that SUV at this point.
That's correct. And we asked that question, obviously, and the person did not know. The windows were dark.
Well, anything else you'd like to add about this investigation and where things are at with it?
No, I mean, just basically we're asking for the community's help. This is a perfect one to get involved in. Even anonymous tips help us. Obviously, if you have any information and you think it's small, I mean, like, working a homicide is like putting a puzzle together. I mean, to make one whole puzzle, you got to have every piece. And if you don't have the small pieces, it doesn't make a puzzle. So every piece of this investigation is huge. Even if you think it's a small portion of the investigation or, oh, the cops probably already thought about that, well, that's not the case. Give us all the information, even if you think we thought of it. Please give us a call. Let us know. At least we can sit there and say, yeah, we did, or no, we didn't, and we need to look into this.
Is Holly Casano the only other unsolved murder at the office that you're aware of?
No, we have Linda Smith was another one. That was, I don't recall, it was in the mid-90s. She was attacked. She was sexually assaulted, and most likely suffered a heart attack during that attack, that sexual assault. We believe the killer burned down the house to cover up his crime. That killer was linked to a sexual assault in Carbondale, Illinois, and I believe outside of, I don't remember what town, but it was in Maryland, I believe, sexual assault.
But that's still you haven't solved that one yet.
It's still open. I mean, basically, if that person ever gets arrested with that DNA, well, just like the Holly Casano case, we're going to jump on that and get a warrant for that person.